mountain, river, and plain, through wind and storm, rides Anne of the Airline.
Lying just ahead of a tropical hurricane that has threatened the existence of the uncharted island upon which they had been marooned, Ann Burton, Jack Baker, Aunt Hattie Jackson, and the two smugglers, Vic and Joe, have landed a stolen Interstate Airline experimental transport ship in an emergency field on the coast of Florida, where in comparative safety, they can await the passing of the hurricane. In the lull just before the storm breaks over the emergency field, Morrison finds time to hand Jack a radiogram, which proves to be from the president of Interstate Airlines, and which gives Jack permission and authority to fly the transport ship in apparent accession to the demands of the smugglers and thus lend assistance to the U.S. Secret Service in rounding up the gang. Just how did Morrison get possession of this radiogram, and what part is he playing in this drama of intrigue and mystery? As we take up the story, we find the two Aircat speed ships and the transport plane lashed to the ground near the windbreak as our friends await the crest of the blow. Listen.
Boy, this hot soup sure tastes good. I told you that sister wasn't so dumb.
I wonder where she found all these thermos bottles, Jack.
I guess, Anne, that she must have become acquainted with them while she was locked in the baggage compartment on our little stowaway flight from Springfield to the island. How are the other ships riding out this wind, Joe?
Looks okay to me, Baker. Sure lucky them trees happened to be up there on the east side.
Those trees, my boy, didn't just happen to be there. They were planted. Australian pines are the best windbreakers they can find against these tropical blows, which always happen to come from the east.
How long do you think this storm will last, Jack?
Oh, no telling, Ann. Sometimes these tropical hurricanes blow themselves out in a couple of hours. Sometimes it's a couple of days.
Phew, in 2 days a wind like this would blow the whole state of Florida right out into the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, hardly, Joe. The old state has managed to withstand harder blows than this. But I don't think that this one's going to last quite 2 days. Atmospheric conditions were not quite right for a long one.
But, Jack, if this was supposed to be a 100-mile-an-hour gale, how could the weatherman predict it so far ahead? It didn't seem to come in at any speed like that.
Well, it didn't. But you see, while the wind in the hurricane is blowing at the rate of 100 miles an hour, the storm itself may only be raveling forward at, say, 50 miles an hour. You see what I mean?
I didn't get it. If the wind is blowing 100 miles an hour, it's got to go ahead 100 miles an hour.
Not at all, Joe. You see, it's something like the blast from one of the propellers on this ship when we taxied on the tarmac.
What's a tarmac, Jack?
A tarmac, Anne, is the strip of pavement, usually concrete, that you'll find in front of almost every hangar and every airport. They bring the planes out there to warm them up, look them over, and to load the passengers and the baggage. Well, as I started to say, when we taxi the ship from the tarmac, the blast from the propellers may be a wind that will register up to 50 or 60 miles an hour in the vicinity of the ship. But the ship itself, that is, the cause of this little vest pocket tornado, may be moving along at 10, 15, and seldom over 20 miles an hour.
Gee, Baker, you ought to be a school teacher.
It seems odd, though, doesn't it, to be sitting here in this cabin listening to the explanation of weather and hurricanes with a wind blowing like it is outside. I wonder how fast it's blowing out there now.
Oh, I'd say from the way those trees are bending over that it's got up to 50 or 60 miles an hour. And that's a full gale anywhere in the country.
It's too full for me. I wonder what Vic's doing out there. If he don't get back here pretty soon, he won't make it.
That phone call of his must have been mighty important.
He wanted to get it through before the wires went down. We can't take any chances in this game, you know, Baker.
That's one reason why I've been wondering about you, Joe.
What do you mean, wondering about me?
Oh, I don't know. You just don't look the type that gets mixed up in this sort of thing, that's all.
That's just my better nature coming to the surface, I guess. But don't let that fool you. And don't bank too much on my kind heart.
Thanks, Joe, for the tip. But I think that Ann has hit something there that's been bothering us both.
Hey, open up this door!
Okay, Vic, just as soon as I find a spot to put this... Gosh, what'll I do with this bottle of soup? It'll spill.
Here, Joe, give it to me, and you can open the door.
Thanks, here.
Hurry up, I'm drowning out here. What's the matter in there?
Keep your shirt on, Vic. I'm trying to open the door. Looks like a piece of wood has flowed into the lock when they closed it.
Ann,
yes?
I've got to get that frequency from Morrison right away. There's no telling when they'll want me to leave.
Oh, but you can't leave without gas.
I got a hunch they'll find some way to dig up some gas.
But this wind, Jack, surely you don't think...
They'll do anything, Ann. I've got to get to Morrison before I leave. Because I can't take a chance on fishing around for that radio frequency. Too much of a chance. And I might hit it just when one of them is listening.
You push in there while I pull out here. Okay. Now.
Yeah, that wind is getting worse. Now, that last radio forecast said it would get worse for the next 2 hours.
Did you get the call through, Vic?
Of course I did. What did you think I dragged through nearly a mile of that mud and water to that boat for? To take a boat ride?
I was just asking, that's all.
Hey, what do you got in that thermos bottle?
Soup, Morgan.
Soup? Hey, does someone of you leave after what I said? Tell her what I thought I told you.
All lay off, Vic. Nobody ain't been nowhere. It was Tut.
It was who?
Tut. You know, the stowaway.
Joe means it was Aunt Hattie. She had presence of mind enough to warm some soup before we left the island and brought it along in the other planes in these thermos bottles.
I get it. Some of that would go good after the soaking I got.
Here's my cup. Oh, ouch. That's hot.
How beautiful here it poured that. She wouldn't have poured it on her hand. She's going to be an air hostess, she says.
If I ever get back to Springfield, you mean?
I think you're going back to Springfield. And pretty pronto, too.
You mean that we are going...
I don't mean we. I mean you. You and your little party of friends can leave here just as soon as this storm passes over. Now, I got a little business to talk over with Baker. And I think it's going to be a bit personal. So before the storm gets any worse... Joe, you escort the lady over to the air cat and see that she stays there until I give you the word.
But, Jack, what are you going
to do? Your boyfriend is 21, ain't he? And I think that he's going to be reasonable. Won't you, Baker?
I guess so, Morgan. Better go along with Joe, Ann. The wind is not so strong right now, and it'll be worse later. Good luck.
All right, Jack, but don't let him talk to you again.
Okay, Baker. I guess we can talk now. I've just had a little talk with the doc, and he tells me things are kind of tough for you back in Springfield. Seems they believe that you're the one responsible for the theft of the transport ship.
I see. Go ahead.
Well, it seems that not so long ago you had quite a reputation within the state for your flying ability and for your honesty and integrity. Well, Baker, you can still fly, but I think the honesty and integrity is gone, with you shouldering the blame for stealing a $150,000 plane.
So?
Well, I think you're in a position to listen to reason. I know, and Doc knows, that you might be able to convince the interstate people that you didn't take this ship. If you could bring them back this ship. But if we just took a notion that you wasn't going to take it back, you'd have a tough time trying to make them swallow any kind of a story. You might be able to get a job with some barnstorming outfit, but business along that line isn't as good as it used to be.
So it's your idea that now I'm just as much a crook as you and your outfit. Is that it?
I don't like the word crook, Baker. Let's say businessman. The diamond smuggling business is one of the biggest in the world and one of the best organized from a financial standpoint. And we're in a position to pay real money to a fellow who'll listen. Do you follow me?
I'm way ahead of you, Morgan. You want me to join your little band of hoodlums, is that it?
Not a band of hoodlums, Baker. Our organization. Sure, we have to be a little shady in our dealings sometimes. But is it our fault that we're smarter than the authorities? In this game, my friend, it's a case of dog eat dog.
What's your proposition?
I thought you'd come around. Just this. You fly this ship to the African diamond mines in Backsea. We pick a different spot to land each trip. We cut out the cost of the people that usually handle the rocks on the steamer. We cut out the runners up and down the coast. And that adds to the profit, you see. We've got one of the best diamond cutters in the world right here in America. So that cuts out Holland. That means that almost every cent the organization takes in is clear profit. Do you get what I mean?
Nice for the organization. How about me?
Well, the doc is in a position to offer you 10% of the net profit. And in the course of a year, Baker, that will amount to more than you can draw from an airline in a lifetime. And you're through with airlines. What's the answer?
How about Pete and Morrison and the rest of them? They know where I am. And the minute this storm lets up, one of them is going to get to a phone or put one of the radios on the air. And then what?
Just this, Baker. When this storm lets up, this plane with you and me and Joe is not going to be here.
You mean that you want me to take off in the face of this wind?
You're not yellow, are you, Baker?
No, but man, it's sheer suicide to try to lift this ship in this storm. You'll find every plane in Florida grounded right now.
Well, this one won't be here in 5 minutes.
We haven't gas enough to go 40 miles.
And we're not going over 40 miles. But those 40 miles will be straight northwest of the Everglades. And when we sit down there's not a ship in the world can find us until we're ready to take the air.
The Everglades? Morgan, you're crazy. There's not a spot in the Everglades where you can land a balloon, much less a heavy transport ship like this, without crashing. As for taking off, that's impossible.
Baker, I told you we're a big organization, didn't I? A little thing like putting a runway in the Everglades is small stuff to us. And we've got gas enough to get there. And I happen to know that this ship is equipped to ride out the worst storm or hurricane in the world.
Okay. But I'd like a chance to say goodbye to my friends.
I know you would. But I'm afraid that's not the thing to do. So if you want to come in with us, get your foot on those starters and let's get going.
Morgan, listen here. I'm flying this ship for the organization, as you call it. Not because I want to, but because it seems to be the only thing left. But one little double cross from any one of you, and there won't be even a life preserver to show where this ship met the Atlantic Ocean. How about Joe? Does he go?
He'll come fast enough when he hears those motors.
What about the lashings? We got to get those loose.
We'll get them, yeah. There comes Joe now on the run.
Step on it, Joe. Let's cut this thing loose. Get that axe. Move it over safely.
Right, Daddy.
I'll get him on this side.
There's only some way to get to Morrison. If Ann can only give me that secret radio frequency, I've got to have it to get instructions.
Climb in, Joe, and hurry. Here comes Gordon.
Jack, where are you going? You can't.
Ann, what was the number you were telling me about?
The number was...
If your girlfriend's trying to give you a phone number, you'll have to get out of the bus. Now, you better gun those motors before we turn over.
If we're going to turn over, I hope we do it right here close to the town. It's dangerous.
Takeoff in the face of the gale. Will the huge transport be able to lift from the soggy field? Will the meager supply of gas be sufficient to carry the ship through the storm to the secret runway in the Everglades? And what was that number that Anne was shouting to Jack as the thunder swallowed up her voice? The number of the secret radio frequency upon which Jack must depend to receive his instructions from the Secret Service Department? Can it be possible that Morrison will be able to get that number to Jack before the transport is out of touch with land and is winging its way across the Atlantic? Only time will bring us the answers, so we must wait for another episode. Don't fail to share in the thrills and excitement that make up the coming chapter of Anne of the Airlines.